Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And I am so delighted today to be back on the radio broadcast for the study of God's Word on this evening. I just give God praise and glory for all that he's done for us. I give God praise and I give him the glory. I give God reverence. I reverence the Lord who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places, I just bring you greetings in the awesome and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm so delighted today that you have chosen to study with us on today. I give God all the praise and glory. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order now. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. We just thank God on today. I feel so blessed on today. He is just a mighty, mighty, mighty God. And I thank him for everything he does. I read a scripture because I didn't get to anyone to have them to read a scripture today. So I read the scripture. We're going to be, I'll be reading from Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemy and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall arise against me, in this will I have confidence. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round and about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I would sing, yea, I would sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I have just read you the first 8 verses of Psalms 27. May God richly bless the doers of his most holy word. We're going to...
Battery, hi.
That was some.
Can I get you? I found...
Jesus, keep me. The rock on that I should find every free to walk on you. Be my glory ever. Be my
Come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come confessing and repenting and asking for your forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we come tonight just giving you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. We bless your holy name on tonight. We bless your name, God. We lift your name up that all men may see. Come running asking what they must be do to be saved. Father, we come tonight, first of all, Lord, we ask you to bind the strong man tonight. Father, we bind the strong man tonight from our lives. We bind up the strong man, Father, from our radio broadcast on tonight. We bind up the strong man right now in every demonic force, everything that's not like you, God. We bind it up, we cast it out, and we command it to go right now. Father, we ask you right now to release your anointing, Lord, and change the atmosphere right now. Release your anointing over your word, God, over this radio broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus, release your anointing. Let your power fall tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, let your power fall, God. Oh, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord. We asking you tonight, open up our minds. In the name of Jesus, open up our heart that we may receive and be receptive to your word on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless you on tonight. We give you glory on tonight, Father, and I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit may increase and minister to us and teach us on tonight, God. I know nothing of myself, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I ask and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. I just give God praise and glory on tonight for everything that he's done and everything that he's doing. I give God praise on tonight. He is such an awesome God, and I give him praise on tonight. He's just blessed. He's blessing us. I just don't know what else to say. I give him all the praise for everything. So we're going to get ready to go into our Bible class on tonight. We're in chapter 15. I'm going to just read it so everybody here, and then some questions that Lord. Okay. And we'll go over our questions and stuff. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, in horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, and the Kenizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Gergesites, and the Jebusites. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid in Egypt, Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord have restrained me from hearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar and conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she was conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hands will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God seest me, for she is. Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer-Lahai-Rus. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beer. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So we're going to start in chapter 15. Who was Eleazar? Who was Eleazar? Do anybody know who Eleazar was?
Is it called like Eliza?
I don't know.
Okay.
Eliza's
okay, well,
name spelled different though. His name spelled different. Eliza's
okay,
name
I thought
spelled
this was...
different.
Okay, well in chapter 15 verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward
mm-hmm.
of my house is Eliezer,
yep.
The master.
Yep, Eliza. That's right. He was
Adam's chief assistant. He was a servant.
Mm-hmm.
An associate.
Right.
Main
Absolutely.
Servant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what he was. Okay, what did God tell Abram concerning his descendants? Anybody?
That they will be great and many.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
And blessed.
Mm-hmm.
He would be,
that's
he,
a good
because
answer.
Of his faith, he would be blessed, and he would be a father of many nations, and they would be blessed because of him. His covenant with God.
Amen. Remember, he told Abram to look up, I think, to heaven. I can't even, my eyes don't even go that fast to look at it. Maybe it's not, wasn't in this, maybe it was in another one, but he did. He told him that his descendants would be as the sand of the sea. It would be many, and it would be multiplied, just like she said. Would first happen to Abram's descendants. Do anybody know what would happen to his descendants at first?
He didn't have any except his servant.
He said what?
He was concerned because he didn't have any children by his own wife. They only had the servants or the people that grew up in his household. But they didn't have their own children.
Yeah, but what would happen to what would happen to him? First, what did God tell him would happen to him? I'm trying to find it here.
I have verse 13.
They were going to that bondage.
Yeah. Yeah, what verse is it?
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am, verse 13. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and
mm-hmm.
shall serve them. And so I don't want to go any further to answer the next question.
And
what chapter is that?
Chapter 15.
15.
Okay.
And how long would this happen? How long? Anybody can answer it if you know it.
400 years.
Mm-hmm. 400 years. Amen.
400 years.
Yeah. And
God
And what was to be God's reward to Abram's descendants? What was to be the reward? God's reward to Abram's descendants.
I have verse 14. I'm sorry, I can't put my glasses on. I wrote it down. There was a lot. Excuse me. And also, that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward shall thy come out with great substances. So God is going to bless mm-hmm. them with great substances, and he's going to set them free.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And he's also going to bless them with the land of Canaan as an inheritance. Remember, he was telling Abram he was going to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. But on down the line, I don't think Abram going to be able to go in. That's when he's going to go off the scene when they get that blessing. He's going to take them there, but he ain't going to be able to go in. In chapter 16 now, by whom did Abram's wife, Sarai, tell him to have children?
Hagar.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Her handmaid, or Sarah's handmaid, or Sarah.
What does this mean? Wait a minute, that was wrong. I'm reading the wrong question. Okay. Once she conceived, how did she treat Sarah?
Rude, disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
She despised her.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. And that's why a lot of times, you know, women something else. That's what I keep saying. They something else because, first of all, Sarai was wrong for doing that and bringing women to her husband that God gave her. She shouldn't have never did that. That was definitely out of order because God can do anything. It just wasn't your time yet. You should have just waited. And I mean, Hagar was wrong for getting a big head when she did get pregnant, but Sarah was wrong first for even telling Abram to go in with her handmaid. That was wrong. What did Sarah do? Anybody know? She kicked her butt out. That's what she did, out of the camp. I don't know what verse it is, but when she got through talking to her, Hagar left. Mm-hmm. She fled from her presence. And what did God promise Hagar?
Well, verse 10, he said, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for a multitude.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
absolutely.
People,
Absolutely. What was Hagar's son's name?
Ishmael.
Ishmael.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Ishmael. So, Sarai was wrong, though, for taking her handmaid. It's just like me taking my friend and giving him to Apostle Dean. But what I want to know is now, or I want to let you all know, when God, in verse 15, when God was telling Abram to get what to get. Let me see, can I bring it back? I'm going to start at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, in horror, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in that land, a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy father in peace, that thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. So the pieces, the ratification of the covenant made with him and his seed in God's passing between the pieces in the symbol of the burning lamp. God went through those pieces, the pieces being laid over against one and another, imported that God would in due time join the separated and scatter Hebrews into one body. That's in Ezekiel 37. Chapter 37, verses 15 through 22. And the fowls which attempted to light on the pieces denote the Egyptians and other enemies of Israel, which should in vain attempt to devour them. When the fowls would come and try to take land on the carcasses, Abram was driving them away, but it was symbolic of how, or denotes how the Egyptians would come and try to attempt to overtake them, or you know, and other enemies as well. They try to devour them. And then the horror of the great darkness which fell on Abram signifies their great distress and vexation in Egypt. And under their oppressor, and they are like to a burning bush and not consumed. So they did it. They did a little bit, but it didn't bother. It didn't overtake them. They couldn't take them like that. And then it says the burning lamp denotes their manifestation in joy for deliverance. The smoking furnace their affliction was their affliction in Egypt. Abram went to his father in death, his soul to the world of spirits, and his body to the grave, where they were gone before him. So that, and it says, without remarkable trouble, and in peace with God and his own conscience and with his neighbors. That was just symbolic, the things that God was telling him to get. He told him to get, I didn't even read that, the BT represented to God were symbolic of or emblems of his seed. That was a seed. The heifer symbolized them in their patience, labor, and proneness to backslide. The goat in their mischievousness and lust. The ram in their strength and fortitude. And the dove in their simplicity and harmlessness, in their pure state. The division of the four-footed animals represented the torn condition of their seed. By the division of their kingdom, they ratified the covenant made with him and his seed in God's passing between the pieces in the symbol of the burning lamb. So it was like everything God was telling him to bring him was a seed. Everything he brought God was a seed, and it was symbolic for what God was wanting to do. And that's why you have to be obedient, even if it don't make sense sometimes. And God tell you to do this and do that. But if God tell you to bring something to him or give something to a ministry or a church or something like that, that's what you're supposed to do. It may not be money. And at that point in time, they didn't have currency like that to bring. But whatever it is, I feel like you should be obedient to what God say, because it's symbolic. It means something. And when God tell you to do it, you should do it. You know, I ain't talking about it. And God will tell you. I'm not going to even say it. But God will tell you. If he tell you to do something, I listen to a lot of people, different ones, and I let the Lord tell me when to do something. I don't pay attention to a cash app. If God don't tell me to do it, I won't do it. I don't care who you are. But if he does, I run to do it quick as I can, because I know it's God. But it definitely have to be God. And when he tell you, that was a seed to God Abraham was bringing. And God went all through that seed, and he blessed it. And that was his reward for being obedient to God, you know, because God said, for a surety, I'm going to be with you. You ain't got to worry about none of this darkness or nothing else, because I got it. But because you was obedient to do what I said. So, you know, it's imperative that we listen to God. God will study when God tell me to do things, or God says something to me, he'll tell me today. He may come back tomorrow night, confirm. He'll wait 2 or 3 days, he'll come right back. He don't have to do that. Feel like I'm not catching on or I'm not getting it. He's going to keep coming back. Or somebody, one of y'all may say something. Don't know what you're saying, but it'd be for me. And then the same thing can happen to you, because, you know, God will confirm his word. He'll send somebody to say it. And all I got to hear it is once. And if I hear it again, I know it's for a surety it's God until he's telling me to do something. So it's a lot of people that say cash at me or send me a seed or this and that or that or that. I ain't not knocking it. I'm not knocking it. But when God tell you to do it, you better move. I ain't worried about what people tell you. But when God tell you to do it, you can say, Lord, should I do it? should I do this? But you got to have it. It got to be in your heart and under your own conscience of what to do. You know, God, he knows everything. He knows everything. And we got to make sure that we doing what he says and not doing what we want to do. He said, don't lean to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct, he'll tell you what to do. He'll direct your path. So in what Sarai did, God didn't tell Sarai to do that. That was her flesh telling her to sin like that. That was a sin. Mm-hmm. Because she just wanted to get a baby from Abraham. And, you know, I can understand that, but, no, I can't. Because I ain't finna have nobody lay down, no woman lay down with my husband. No, no, no. No. And back
then,
she
got jealous. Then she got jealous after she told her to do it.
Yeah, because the lady got pregnant because she couldn't. But it wasn't time for her to get pregnant yet. God know what he's doing. He wait till they got old and gray to get pregnant. You know, but that's okay because God blessed them. That's why you can't tell me God can't bless your womb. I don't care who you are, how old you are, what didn't happen to it, or nothing. You look up and you'll be carrying a baby and don't know how it got there. I'm just telling you, you have to be careful in your senior years, over 60, 60 and above, then let it alone. Mm-hmm. But that was part of her judgment. You weren't supposed to take that lady in that time. I go screw my husband and get me a baby. And God blessed Ishmael, but he wasn't. He wanted a baby by Sarai in Abram. That's what he. That was going to be the heir by his wife, not by her mistress. That's why the Lord told her, go back, because you shouldn't have been screwing them. You go back and be under her hand, under her rule, because she was probably acting, mm-hmm, you ain't nothing. He don't want you. You know, I got it for him. See, I know what I'm doing, walking around looking like a peacock strutting with her head up in the air, and you done screwed this man, this lady's husband. Mm-mm. God wasn't pleased with Sarai at all. Mm-hmm. Anybody else got comments?
And,
just talk.
Yeah. So basically, with what I got going as far as Sarah goes, you know, after Abraham dealt 10 years in the land, you know, more than 10 years since the promise was made regarding Adam's descendants.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, 10 years seemed like a long time for the promise of God. So, you know, while practicing surrogacy, or surrogate, you know what I'm saying, the parentage,
mm-hmm,
it was common,
mm-hmm,
in that ancient world. And, you know, it may have been acceptable to God on other occasions. You get what I'm saying? But it,
mm-hmm,
wasn't for Abram.
Right.
You know, the friend of God, the man of faith, you know, God had a different path for him. And
right,
Abram and Sarah, they were discouraged, I mean, enough that they approached this thing, this problem that they had of no children by leaving God out of the matter. That's what's wrong with us today.
Yeah.
This is deep. And most people, you know, they look it over differently. You know, they left God out of it. And, you know,
mm-hmm,
it was as if they said, with God out of this equation, how do we solve it? Wrong on so many levels.
Yep.
Why? Because God is never out of the equation. We must walk in faith, not of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women of faith must see things in the realm, in the spiritual realm. Like, God is not ever out of the equation. You know,
shouldn't be.
The long way for promise, for God, for a promise that came from God, for a long waiting promise that came from God, it'll make anybody vulnerable.
Yeah.
And in that state, when you most vulnerable, you'll do just about anything when it comes down to what you think you want, what you think you may need. And you'll forget how, look, too long. I remember I said it long ago. You get what I'm saying? I wanted to mess this girl up and buy her at this gas station and she argued with me one time. And I mean, it was every day or every time I go in there for gas. So I said, don't, I'm going to move. I said, God, you're taking too long. How many times have we all said that? You said, because I said to go in there and catch up. But it was a sure standing in there just drinking some coffee. I said, ooh, this one ain't number God. Just, in my mind, I thought he was saving her. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
No, in my mind. Because this was her last time. You get what I'm saying? But he was actually saving me. So my thing is, don't ever take God out of the equation of you trying to have something that you think at that time. You know, patience is short when we get down to earth. It's short.
Right.
You see how long it took for them to have? God bless them when they was old. And you know, back then it was 400, 200 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's sad. And it's horrible to have something that you want so bad. You know?
Right.
Think about the things that you want that, you know, I want me a Diet Coke. I'm trying to wait till I get offline. Do you know? But that's what I want.
Yeah.
Because I want to enjoy this Coke.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Diet Coke. Let me just say that. This drink, the soda.
But
my thing of it is, you know, when it all boiled down to Sarah, when it all boiled down to Haggai, God was still in control.
Yeah, he was.
He was still in control.
Yes, he was.
Of the situation, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, we could point, we're going to do it wrong, do it right. He's going to be still in control because he already know how it's going to play out because he know our heart. He know what we about. That's why he doing Abraham the way he doing. That's why he doing Haggai the way he and Sarah, making that lady come on in there and tell you about how she was probably, you know, had relationships with a man and all in the house with her, making her feel bad. Ain't no telling. I ain't put all that in there, but I promise you, because women like that today, and ain't nothing that we doing today that they ain't already done did. So I can just imagine half the stuff that went on back in the day. It started then. And it's continuing now. It's different years.
Yep.
But God is still in control.
Yep. Yes, he is. And Ishmael, and his seed should be what it's going to be. Wild. It was foretold that his seed would be wild and free. Did I read that? Anyway, it should be wild and free, and just like wild asses. Mischievous to all around them and extremely numerous. It's going to be a lot of them. For almost 4,000 years, the fulfillment have been amazingly remarkable. Ishmael had 12 sons who gave rise to as many tribes or nations called by their name and who dwelt southward in Arabia. Before the face on or in the presence of their near relations to the Ammonites, Moabites, and the descendants of Keturah and the Edomites, and the Jews. So, and these men, and they are Arabs, in Saudi Arabia is an Arabs, and these men, that nation around them, they had been a nuisance and a plague to the nations around them. They were infamous for theft, robbery, revenge, pillage, and murder. It have therefore been the continual and common interest of mankind to eliminate them from the earth. But though almost every note conquered who have appeared in the world, whether Hebrew, Egyptian, Assyrian, Chaldean, Persia, Grecians, Romans, Tartar, or Turkish, have pushed his conquest to their borders, or even beyond then in Egypt or Arabia, Felix. Not one have ever been able to subdue them, these Ishmaelites. And the reason why is because he's Abraham's seed. That's the reason why it's so many of them, and they just wild like they are, and all over there in Arab and different things, and they just wild, and in the word it said one their hand is going to be, I guess that was Ishmael, his hand is going to be against every man's hand. He's going to be fighting with everybody. Every tribe, every nation. And that's just the way they are of today. That's the way they are. And they're not going anywhere because those are Ishmael's children, tribe, his nation. And God promised Abram that he was going to, and promised Hagar that he was going to take care of Ishmael's seed, that they would be plenty and multiply, and they like little rabbits everywhere. When I tell you they everywhere, they in Africa, they in Asia, they everywhere. Mm-hmm. So and he had 12 sons, and it's somebody else too. I think, I don't know, maybe Abraham's son gonna have 12 too. I know it's three or four of them in there gonna have 12 sons, and then they're going to go off of that, and it's probably, I don't know, but we'll see as we go on further. But yeah, when we do wrong things like what Sarah did, and I'm not saying that God blamed her, but you got to kind of control that. You got to kind of wait and be patient, because if you don't, you're going to mess up. You, as a woman, she was out of order. She was out of order. Abram is the head. She was out of order. So I can't give you no kids. So you pray and ask God, and he'll do it. But it takes some learning for that. It takes learning for that. It takes experience for that. It takes wisdom to be patient and wait on God like that. It's an art of waiting, because everybody don't want to wait. They don't want to be patient. They don't want to wait on God to do nothing. They just want to take it up on themselves. But if you could just wait on the Lord, what the word say, he will renew you, and you're going to mount up as like eagles on a wing. You're going to, wings on an eagle, you're going to mount up. You're going to rise up. He's going to raise you up. If you just wait for the Lord, if we can just do that, we don't want to do that. We in a hurry for everything. Got that microwave age going on. Everything got to be just right now, right now. Don't have no sense of wait. Patience. Fruit of the Spirit. But we got to do that. We got to do it. God is, I'm telling you, and the older you get, especially in the word, God will show you so many things that you didn't even see before. He'll show you. When he get ready for you to know something, I don't care if a baby has to come up to you and see it. He's going to let you know it. That's why I listen to all of them and everybody else, because God can use anybody he want to use to get something across to you. He can use, if you watch TV all the time, he going to use the TV. If you look at the Terminator or whoever it is, he'll talk through them. I'm telling you, you play the games all day, he going to say something through that. He going to get your attention. He's going to get your attention if he wants you to know something. Anyone else have anything to say? Any comments or anything? This was good. Now, Thursday, we're going to have 17 and 18. And I want everybody that can preach a word to give me a date so they can preach. I'm supposed to be preaching 2 Sundays a month, and the other y'all supposed to be preaching 2 Sundays a month. I need some dates. I need, because I'm finna get real busy. And I need some dates. I'm not going to say I'm not going to do what God called me to do, but he called me to give y'all some time to get used to preaching, because that's your calling. So I want to make sure you all give me some dates. Choo-choo, La-La, Ray-Ray, Q, Lee-Lee, Mimi, Lisa, give me some dates. If you can't preach, you can teach. Teach the word. Find something to teach. Do it. This is your the time right here before somebody call you out to teach or to preach and you won't know how to do it. This is the time. And I know that you all know, you know, you all got it going on, but this, I'm not going to say practice time, but this practice time right here, this practice time. So, you know, you'll be able to stand up before people, before man. Mm-hmm. Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So give me some dates. When we came back on Thursday, I want some dates. I want some dates because I'm finna get busy.
What if we all pick the same day?
We are not discussing. Don't say that. Girl, y'all better not
you
do that.
You just put the calendar up. Just put the calendar up.
Y'all want
up.
Me to do
just-
it? Huh? You just want me to send y'all a calendar, or you want me to do it? Tell me.
Just put some Sundays down and then just ask us to pick.
You just have a day Thursday for you.
Just give y'all some days, and y'all pick the day.
Yeah, pick some days you want people to preach, right, when you're not preaching, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. And then I just go late.
Well, I know you're going later, but you got to get ready. You say you're going when?
Ray says you're going first.
You want to go first?
I can't. No, I said last.
I always try to pick some first.
All right.
Well, I'm going to put some dates. I'm going to send you all some dates.
Well, technically, I preached last. Well, which was
you
first.
Sure did.
So
technically,
maybe
it's Lisa's time next.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
And then my.
Lisa.
And then who my.
Well, who you say first?
Yeah.
I say Lisa. And then my.
Lisa.
Because while I preach last.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You, Lisa, you wanna go first, Lisa? Prophetess?
When would that be?
Oh, I'll let you know. It'll probably be in another 2 weeks. maybe three. You know what? I can preach this month, and then the 1st of March, 2 weeks out the month that you all are going to preach. So if somebody was going to preach the next two, no, I got my preach. What noise? Anyway, if I preach Sunday, then the next 2 weeks is one of you all. Then I preach the first two Sundays in March, and the next 2 weeks is one of you all. You know, so it's 2 weeks out of each month that you have to preach. So I'll preach this Sunday, then the next, in February, it'll be 2 weeks that you all have to preach. Or you all want me to start in March?
I think the sooner the better.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. It's just me. I already preached.
Okay.
When you going to?
I'm gonna send them a date. I'm gonna send y'all some dates and y'all just pick them.
Okay.
And you're gonna have to. You gonna have to preach again. But it's the last 2 weeks in every month. So I preached the first two. So this Sunday would be my last Sunday, and then next two will be for one of y'all. Then like that every month, and we're gonna keep going because I want y'all to get it where y'all can stand up before a congregation and just take that text and say that word. That's all. Even if somebody puts you on Zoom or something, go ahead on and do it. You know, because eventually you're going to be on the TV anyway. Eventually, but I'm trying to get y'all ready for that. I'm trying to get you ready because I'm finna get ready for that. I can't keep letting it just go by like that. So I know I got to get ready. I'm just trying to every day do a little more and a little more and a little more towards the TV channels and stuff like that. So, you know, that's one Sunday you may have to just look your best and preach. That's all. But we want to get y'all some preaching experience and stuff first.
So basically what you're saying, mm-hmm. we're going starting this month, the last 2 weeks somebody mm-hmm. got to preach.
Yeah.
And then the last 2 weeks of March somebody got to preach.
Yeah.
And then the last
April,
2 weeks
May.
Of April. Right
April.
There. Okay, well, I can mm-hmm. go ahead and preach in February one of them weeks. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Y'all know I can talk a whole lot. So it doesn't matter to me for real. I just try to stay ready and talking all the time so I don't have to really get ready too much. So,
well, you know what you want to
I'm
talk
down.
About. So, okay.
Okay.
You or Lisa, whoever, but you just pick it for me. But I'm going to send y'all the date
okay.
every month up until the end of April. Amen. All right.
Amen.
I'm going to get ready to close out. Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight, Lord. We thank you tonight. Hey, we give you glory. We give you praise on tonight. Lord, we thank you for opening up our hearts and our minds that we will be receptive to your word on tonight, Lord. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice, God. In the name of Jesus, if anyone that's not feeling well, that's sick, Lord, I ask you to be a healer. And we bind the spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you right now to send angels, God, to protect each one of them and their families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll be so careful. And I ask you to bless Apostle Deans as well, Lord. Bless his mind, Lord. Get strength in him where he's weak. Build him up where he's torn down. In the name of Jesus, in every member of the End Time Men and Women of War, every member of Life Support Outreach Church, and every member of the Prayer Room Ministry. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Y'all did a good job tonight. But Thursday, we have 17 and 18. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
You too.
Amen.
Love you.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night. Amen. Good night.